Grasshopper New Media presents.
Ladies and gents, it's the Great Big Small Business Show, starring Becky McCray.
This is Becky McCray, and I am interviewing Pat Matthews. Pat, would you tell us your company name?
Yes, the name of our company is webmail.us.
Okay, and where are you located?
We are in Blacksburg, Virginia.
Okay. Well, I wanted to start with some of the general questions that we have about your business. So just tell us, how did your company get started?
Well, we actually got started back in 1999. We were originally founded as a .com. Our original .com business model didn't exactly play out the way that we wanted. But over time, we really found our niche in the email hosting business. And our company, as we know it today, was really born in about 2003. And since then, we've been growing ever since.
Well, terrific. Tell us how you secured funding, both at that initial phase in the .com and then especially after the .com phase.
Sure. So during the .com boom, everybody was really excited about what we were doing, and there were so many people just trying to invest in .com companies. And we never really got out to the venture capital world, but we were able to really keep our business afloat by securing small amounts of money, like $5,000 here, $10,000 here, from friends and family. And once we realized that that model wasn't going to work, we had the opportunity to kind of close our business down and start again. But the reason why we're still the same business today and we still have the same tax ID and everything like that is because we wanted to be really loyal to our original investors. And once we got back on our feet and once we really started to grow the business and really prove out our business model, that's when we, in March of 2005, were able to secure $500,000 in Series A financing from a group of angel investors, most of which are local to the Southwest Virginia area and some of which are outside as well.
And how did you get into the angel investor network to get to start your contact with those people to get that financing going?
Well, originally, We just had local contacts here. I mean, being a business down here in Southwest Virginia, I mean, we've just made contacts over the years with angel networks and high net worth individuals, and so we were able to lean on our existing contacts. And then outside of the region, I mean, we just also had contacts there. I mean, it was very much going to existing contacts and being introduced to people through those contacts. I mean, that's really how we were able to raise the money.
So you started your networking long before you started asking for the money.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, I think that's a great idea.
Right.
One of the other questions that small businesses often talk about is traditional business plans. Do we really have to draw up a regular traditional business plan? Did you guys draw one up, and did you draw one up when you changed your company over?
Absolutely. I mean, we've probably drawn up 20 to 30 business plans over the years. Some are just refinements of existing ones, but I mean, we do think it's important to have a somewhat of a traditional business plan. I mean, there's some things that we do that are maybe different than a traditional plan, but you know, even though it takes a lot of time to put a plan together, there's a lot of benefits too. I mean, it really helps you to think out the type of company you want to build and think out all the different scenarios that you may face as a business down the road. And from our experiences, potential investors always want to see that kind of stuff. I mean, whether or not they actually believe what the business plan says is a different story, but I think that they always want to see that you're thinking it out. And you know, from our experience, that's been really, really important.
Okay, that's good. 20 to 30 different refinements over the years.
I would say at least.
Okay, you guys are very planned. That's good.
Yeah, well, we try. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that come up once you get going with the business and once it gets up and running, and there's unexpected things that happen, and there's different courses that you end up taking. And that's why, you know, when I say that we maybe do things a little bit differently than a traditional plan, as we always build a lot of flexibility into our planning as well as our financial models too, because the last thing that we want to do is be operating off of a plan that's maybe 9 or 10 months old if it's not realistic anymore. So, you know, we're never afraid to to kind of alter the plan as we go if that's what we need to do in order to succeed.
It sounds like the real difference for you is that the plan is a working document. It's something that you use to guide what you do in the business as opposed to something you did only because someone made you.
Right. I would say that's definitely true. But I would also say that at times, especially when things are going well and we're executing on our plan and you know, we're growing the business, then the old plan kind of gets outdated and we stop working from it. And that's when we'll you know, every few months or when it's – especially when we're coming up on a new year, we like to rethink it and update it and really move forward from there. I mean, I wouldn't say that it's a living document to the point where we're updating it on a weekly or even a monthly basis, but we definitely – try to keep some life in it.
Okay, very good. Your initial idea where you started your company at the dot-com era and then also the idea of how you refined down to the email hosting, tell us about where those ideas came from.
Sure. So the dot-com idea really was just a crazy idea that my business partner thought up back in early 1999. There was a lot of things going on the internet. There was the dot-com boom was going crazy, and he came up with an idea and we decided to run with it. I mean, I can't really think of a specific reason why he came up with the initial concept. I think more than anything, he just wanted to start a business and he wanted to be a part of the dot-com boom, and I wasn't afraid to move with him. So we really, more than anything, we needed something to get us going, and the original idea was it. And after the dot-com bust, I mean, we just realized that our business model wasn't going to work in the business climate that we were living in. And so we really just kept revising our model as we moved forward and really, like I said, found our niche moving into 2003. And the big difference between the two strategies was in 1999, it was more of a model where we give all of our services away for free and try to capitalize on and generate revenue from advertising initiatives. And from about 2000 to maybe 2002 or 2003, like the online advertising market really dried up until Google really started to gain a lot of dominance in the space. And they've kind of brought the whole online advertising business back to where everybody thought it was going to be in 1998 and 99. We were just, I think, a little bit ahead of our time. And so we really started to get more, and we moved more from a consumer type of company to more of a business-to-business type of company, where we're really focused on helping solve business problems now as opposed to just giving services away for free predominantly to consumers.
Well, let's talk about that. Your target market is now on business to business. What size of company is the size of company that normally that you target for your services?
Sure. Well, our services are really scalable. So, I mean, we serve businesses as small as 1, 2, 3 people in a business, all the way up to tens of thousands of people in a business. So what we do, it can be scaled to very different levels. However, our target market is really what we consider the true small business, which is still a pretty big range. It's the 5 employees to 200 employee range, and that's predominantly what we target. But, you know, again, we deal with some fairly significantly large customers as well.
Okay. One of the things that I looked up and was looking at in terms of free webmail solutions that are out there was the cost of ownership. When a company uses one of those free solutions, then with the advertising that comes with it, it actually costs them in employee time as they click on ads or are distracted by the other information. Is that something that you guys have used as a marketing tool to try to convince companies that it's better to go with your service?
You know, that's a good question, but I mean, not so much really. I mean, what we really see, what we're really up against and where most of our customers are really coming from is the software side of the business. Like, so many businesses are still running their own mail servers and still managing a lot of hardware internally, and with in order to provide email hosting to employees, I mean, then you have to deal with the security issues and the anti-spam and the antivirus. And so, you know, a lot of businesses are really moving from that let's do it in-house to let's outsource it. And so that's really where most of our marketing is, and where our real focus is on building a really compelling alternative to managing email in-house. Okay. And so that's really what we're marketing towards. In terms of the free providers out there, there's a number of free providers that we've been, I guess, competing against for a number of years. I mean, you've got web hosting companies, you've got internet service providers, both the small local ones all the way up to your AOLs of the world. But what we've found is that a lot of businesses, at least, not every business, but a lot of businesses really want to work with a provider that has a very specific focus. I mean, email is a very mission-critical communication tool for businesses these days, and so a lot of businesses want to turn to an expert in that field. And so that's really where we focus our marketing, is on the fact that you can outsource your email as opposed to manage it in-house, and you can work with an expert in that space. And you know, most of the Actually, I think all of the free providers out there, I mean, none of them can really say that email hosting is all they do all day, every day, like we can.
Okay. Who is the one client or one company that you've been able to work with that you are either the proudest of, or that you were the most surprised that you reached them successfully?
Let me think here. I would say the one that we're most proud of is a company called the Cobalt Group. They're based in Seattle, Washington. And that they're actually one of our they've been with us. They're one of our oldest customers too. They've been with us since the 2002-2003 timeframe. And the reason why we're most proud of them, I would say, is because the Cobalt Group, they provide a lot of web and website services to automobile dealerships throughout the country. I mean, they have major customers like Daimler, Chrysler, Nissan, Toyota, and just a number of dealerships throughout the country and really throughout the world. And what they've done, what the Cobalt Group has done, is they have rebranded our email hosting solution, and they're reselling our email hosting services back into their small business customer segment. And our reseller program is actually where about 50% of our customers come from. But the Cobalt Group, they're one of our earliest adopters. They've really integrated our solution into their existing offering, and they've really been able to reach just a really high volume of businesses, which has been it's made for a fantastic relationship. And so I would say, you know, the Cobalt Group is not necessarily a household name, but the customers that are actually using our services are household names, and so that's something that we've always been really proud of, and we've always kind of considered them our flagship customer.
Okay. How big do you want to grow your company up to be? What are your next targets?
How big do we want to be?
Business plan. Check that current business plan.
Right. Well, we think we've got a really big opportunity here. I mean, in terms of numbers, I mean, we think that we can build a $100 million a year business. We think that we've got a big opportunity if we can really maintain our focus and execute on our plan over the next couple of years. I mean, there's a lot of challenges facing our business plan. I mean, it's a very competitive industry. There's a lot of companies not just aiming to provide similar service to the market, but there's a lot of companies just really aiming at the small business market in general. For years, it's been a very underserved market because so many companies are looking to land bigger deals in the enterprise space, and so the small business market has been overlooked. And so you've got companies like Microsoft and Google and AOL really targeting services at a very similar marketplace. So it's going to be a challenge, but we think that we've got the right strategy, and we maintain that level of flexibility that some of the competitors just don't have. And so, we really think that we can grow this thing out.
Okay. Well, Pat, thank you for taking time to talk with us on the Great Big Small Business Show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.